kids, and look forward to that Sunday bar. I think I'm going to go help out afterwards.
Chaperone,
yes. Brothers and sisters, we are going to continue this morning in our theme on prayer here at the church. We have been discussing the theme throughout the month of July, and so we continue that today. And so this morning, I invite you to read with me, to hear the words of Scripture, at least found in the Gospel according to Matthew. This is verses 18 through 22 of chapter 21. So chapter 21, verses 18 through 22, the Gospel of Matthew. In the morning, when Jesus returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, he went to it and found nothing at all on it but leaves. Then Jesus said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. And when the disciples saw it, they were amazed, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, this morning we ask, as you have said, we ask with faith that you would be here, that you would attend to our hearts, that you would heal any of us that need to be healed, that you would speak to us in our troubled places, that you would also gird us up with confidence and strength to trust in you. We call on your name, Lord, and ask for your Spirit to be here among your people, to be with us in the words that I speak and in the meditations of our hearts, and that all this would be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, we continue on with our theme of prayer, where we've been asking a basic question, which is this: how do we pray? How do we get into a real relationship with God, where we can communicate with the Lord above, where we can hear Him and where He can hear us? How do we do that? How do we pray? That's the question we've been asking. And it's a good question, because it's a question the disciples asked when Jesus, when they were with Him throughout His early ministry. You might remember the first Sunday that we started this theme, we looked at the place where Jesus taught His disciples the Lord's Prayer, because they asked Him this: "Lord, teach us to pray." In other words, how do we pray like you? How do we talk to God? How do we hear God talking back to us? How do we pray? To which Jesus responded to them and gave to them what we now call the Lord's Prayer, the words, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so on. It was a prayer that taught the disciples the major themes of God's communication with us, that whenever God communicates with us, it's always somehow going to be about the themes of His place in our lives, the theme of His will for our lives, the theme of His provision for our lives, and His deliverance of our lives into His goodness, and how He has bound us together, not only to Him, but to one another for the good of each other. These are the themes that the Lord's Prayer covers. Therefore, Jesus encouraged His disciples to practice talking to the Lord about these things, but also to practice it in a spirit of trust, because as we learned last week, if we want to know how to pray correctly, one might say, then we need to learn to pray for what God wants for us, and not just what we want for ourselves, but what God would want for us. Because as Jesus said in both places of Scripture that we read in the last 2 weeks, God wants what is good for us. He wants to give us His good things, His faithfulness, His hope, His love, His presence, his love in our lives, and His love for one another. He wants to give us these things. These are the things that the Lord is giving to us. Therefore, Jesus says, pray and ask God to give you these things, and He will give to you these things. Pray and ask that the Lord would give to you these things, Jesus says, and he will give to you these things. You know, praying in that kind of way takes a little bit of boldness. I mean, it actually takes a little bit of boldness for me to stand up in front of you and say that I know that God is going to give you those things if you ask for them. Because it implies that I know what God is actually going to do before God does it. That he's going to ask or answer your prayers if you ask him for these things. That's bold, if you think about it. And yet, the Lord wants us to be bold in prayer. Can you hear that, friends?
Yes.
The Lord wants us to be bold in our prayers. I mean, consider what Jesus said to the disciples as they entered into the city of Jerusalem. The story that we just read from the gospel according to Matthew. It goes like this, that Jesus saw a fig tree at the side of the road. He went over to it and found nothing on it except leaves, which prompted him to then say to the fig tree, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And at once, the fig tree began to wither away. And when the disciples saw it, they were amazed and they said to the Lord, "How did that happen? How did the fig tree wither away at once?" To which Jesus responded like this, "If you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whenever you ask, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." Brothers and sisters, that's bold. That's a confidence in the power of prayer, in our ability to communicate with God in such a way that the Lord of all creation would hear us in such a remarkable request. That God would be faithful to respond in the way that Jesus said the Lord would respond. To pray like that requires boldness, confidence, boldness. So how do we pray like that? How do we pray with confidence? How do we pray with boldness? That's the theme for today. To learn what the Bible says about praying with boldness. And you know what? As I was doing my studies this last week for the sermon, I just kept on finding verse after verse after verse after verse regarding this subject. For example, we heard it in the first scripture lesson that we read from the letter to the Hebrews, and it says this, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We hear of it again in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he writes of God's gifts given to the church through the grace of Jesus Christ, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. We hear of it again in the letters of John, where the author encourages the church in their faith and says this, "Beloved, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and we do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Therefore, this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request we have asked of him." I could keep on going. There are more verses speaking to the boldness and the confidence that we are to have in our prayers on account of God's faithfulness. We are called to be bold in our prayers because God is faithful and good, and because we can trust in the Lord. Amen? However, maybe you are like me. Maybe you hear this and all sorts of things rise up inside of you and you ask yourself, well, how can I pray with boldness and confidence I'm so sensitive to my weaknesses, to my sins, to my understandings of this fragile world where things just so often seem to turn out wrong. How can we pray in boldness and confidence when it seems that things just don't really go our way? How can we pray in boldness when we think we know the parameters of this world, and the parameters of this world do not allow for that which we want and hope for? How can we pray boldly in the midst of all of that? Let us return to the story that we read in the Gospel according to Matthew, the story of Jesus and the fig tree, because it's there that Jesus teaches his disciples a valuable lesson regarding their prayer life with the Lord above. It's not just Jesus getting upset with the fig tree. He's teaching his disciples a lesson about prayer and about their relationship to the Lord. You remember the story. Jesus came across a fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it, and here's the thing. It was near the Passover, which means that it was either in March or April. Of course it didn't have any fruit on it. It wasn't the time to bear fruit for the fig tree. It would have been impossible for the tree to have had ripe figs on it. And yet Jesus cursed it and made it wither, which prompted the disciples to ask how that had happened, leading Jesus to respond with this word, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." Now, friends, let me tell you what is happening here. Jesus has done and pointed to things that are impossible for the disciples to accomplish on their own. And then he goes on to tell them that they should boldly ask God to do those things. Because you see, Jesus wants to reorient what the disciples have their confidence in whenever they go to God in prayer. For you see, prayer is not about being confident in what we can do, because clearly we cannot make a fig tree wither. And clearly we cannot make a mountain stand up and get cast into the sea. So prayer is not about being confident in what we can do, nor is prayer being confident in the circumstances that we face, because some circumstances, if not most circumstances, are beyond our control. Prayer, at least in the spirit that Jesus would have us to pray, is about the Lord's capacity and his faithfulness and his goodness and his commitment to bring forth what he wants for us. So in that sense, prayer is about what God can do. And because of that, prayer inspires confidence in the Lord. It provokes our trust in him. Through prayer, we start to become more and more aware of God's goodness that has been revealed to us through the mercy and grace and forgiveness and love of Jesus Christ. Prayer draws our hearts and our minds to God, to who he is and to what he can do. It reorients our perspectives so that we are no longer just thinking about ourselves or our own circumstances, which allows us to then be bold in our prayers to God, because we know that whatever we might ask for in prayer, God can do it. And not only can God do it, but God is faithful and good. So, Jesus says this: you can be bold in your prayers to God, because it is not about you or about your circumstances. It's about what God can do, what God decides to do, who God is, and how he is in the midst of your life. So we can be bold in prayer. However, if we are honest with ourselves, still being honest with ourselves, then the truth is that you and I can struggle with this. We can struggle to be bold in prayer because we're not quite sure how it's all going to unfold. If we go to God boldly with our request, will God listen to us? Will we have the faith to unlock everything, to believe? Will the Lord of the heavens and the earth answer someone as weak and as broken and as sinful as me? However, this is why the Lord encouraged his disciples to be bold in their prayers to God, because when we are bold in our prayers to God, we learn to rely and count not on ourselves, to not have confidence in our circumstances or in the things that we face, but rather to turn our attention to God and to God alone. Because only in that do we realize that God is the one who can answer our prayers. It's only, if we think about it, it's only in the Lord that life can really come. If we really dig down and consider it, it's only because of God that you and I are even here today, right now, this morning, calling on his name for help. Therefore, our confidence is to be in the Lord alone. But for our confidence to grow, for our boldness to come forth, we have to encounter many things that we cannot control, that we cannot overcome or make happen on our own, that seem to defeat us and our hopes in this world, all for the sake of getting us to become confident in the Lord alone. As we learn to become confident in the Lord alone, we will become more and more bold in our prayers, because we are going to trust more and more that the one who has made the heavens and the earth is also the one who is with us in everything. And we will trust that God, the one God who has promised to us his goodness, will be faithful to bring about that which is truly good, even if we are struggling to see it right now. Take, for instance, the story of Abraham. You probably remember the story of how Abraham was called by the Lord to leave his home and then to travel on to a land of which he knew not, so that God could bless him there and then make of him a father to many nations, which meant that God was going to give to Abraham a land, but that he was also going to give to Abraham a lot of offspring, a lot of children, which was Abraham's hope, to have a family that would be fruitful and become a blessing in this world. So, excited, Abraham did what the Lord told him to do. He set out to that new land and hope and trust that God's blessings were quickly going to become apparent. But you know the story. That's actually not what happened. In fact, for much of the remaining story for Abraham, for much of his remaining story, Abraham experienced a sense of weakness and vulnerability and uncertainty about his future in that new land and among a new people. So much so that Abraham began to do foolish things, like give up his wife to the Pharaoh so that he could survive. Or when it became clear that he and his wife, Sarah, weren't going to have any kids, he took for himself his wife's servant as his own wife so that he could have kids through her. But none of those things turned out well for Abraham and Sarah. None of those things turned out well for them, because these were not the things that the Lord wanted for them. Instead, God wanted them to trust in him. He wanted them to see that he was going to be faithful to them. And so the Lord brought them through this long season of life where Abraham and Sarah probably began to question everything that they had done to get themselves to where they were. The Lord brought them through that long season of life where their prayers didn't seem to get easily answered, where they began to doubt and wonder if maybe they had misread that original situation and misunderstood the Lord and his request from the beginning. In other words, Abraham, I think, was beginning to lose confidence, at least in himself. But that's really where God began to speak to Abraham. He began to remind Abraham of who he was. In one such story, the Lord, it says, appeared to Abraham in this mysterious way, meaning that it seems that the Lord came to Abraham in some kind of disguised way. He was with two others as well. And this, it wasn't just simply clear to Abraham. It required a sense of faith on Abraham's part to trust that it was really the Lord there in his presence. But somehow, some way, Abraham did trust, and because of that, a conversation ensued with the Lord saying to Abraham and Sarah, "Where's your wife, Sarah?" To which Abraham said, she's there in our tent, and that prompted the Lord to then say, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind Abraham, and because Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in age, it seemed impossible to her that something like this was going to happen for them at this stage in their lives. And so she laughed, and she said to herself, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, am I going to now have this pleasure of having a child?" But the Lord heard Sarah, and then he said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?'" Let me say that again. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah will have a son. And that is what happened. The Lord brought forth his promise to Abraham and Sarah because the Lord is faithful and true, which caused Abraham to be confident in the Lord and bold in his request to God, because he knew and trusted that whenever he prayed, it wasn't about what he himself could do. Abraham knew that he was weak. He knew that he was old. He knew that he was broken. He knew that he was sinful. So Abraham's boldness to trust in the Lord and to talk to God in prayer was not about him. It was about God and whether or not God was going to be faithful in that moment. Later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was reflecting on this story. He was reflecting on Abraham's example to the rest of us, and he said this about Abraham. "Hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said by the Lord, 'So numerous shall your descendants be.' Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and when he discovered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made Abraham doubt concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised." That's boldness with the Lord. Being fully convinced that God is able to do what God has promised. That's boldness with the Lord. Being fully convinced that God is going to bring forth his goodness for you, for me, for us together. To trust in the Lord in times of plenty, but also to trust in the Lord in times of want. To call on his name and believe that God is going to give to you his help and will bring forth his goodness at just the right time. That's what it means to be bold in prayer. Friends, I want to encourage this church to be bold in prayer, to call on the Lord, not because of who you are, not because of what you have done, not being afraid because of the mistakes you have made or the weakness that you show or the doubts you might have, but to call on the Lord because God is faithful and true. Can we be bold in prayer?
Yes.
We're going to call on the name of the Lord right now in this time of prayer. Let us pray.